Number five this evening. We'll bring something tonight, waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. That's something He's laid on my heart here lately. And if you're like me, you're not a good waiter. I don't like to wait. We don't like to wait for things in our lives. We like to have it right when we want it, right when we need it. Sometimes that's not how it goes. But tonight in 1 Peter chapter number 5, if you will stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter number 5, it says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Verse number 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. And for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Verse number 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Lord, I come to you tonight, God, and I just want to thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to stand behind your sacred desk, Father. God, I pray that you get me out of the way, as unworthy as I am, Father God. I pray that you'd move me. God, I pray, Father God, that you just sit down tonight, Father God. You take what you've given me, and God, I pray that you'd move on it, Father. God, I pray tonight, Father God, as we wait on you to move, Father God, I pray that we do what you've called us to do. God, I pray tonight for the young boy who's in the hospital, Father. God, I just lift him up to you one more time tonight. God, I pray that you'd move on that situation, Father. God, move on that family. Give them peace and give them comfort. God, I pray that you'd be with Brother Eric's uncle, Father God. I pray that you'd touch him and be with them doctors, Father God, as they go in and do surgery on him, Father. God, I love you and I do thank you. God, I pray that you just sit down with us tonight. Let us learn just a little bit about you. Lord, I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight here in Peter, he is warning the church. If you read back through 1 Peter, they're going through sufferings and they're being punished for being a Christian. They're being beat, they're being mocked, they're going through all these things. Sufferings is what Peter calls it here in verse number 1. But I just want to know that, or want you to know tonight that here in verse chapter number 5, he's telling them that they just must wait just a little bit longer. They must wait just a little bit longer. And as a Christian tonight, as I've looked back, as I was studying over this, I feel like in my own life, I may be the only one who's like this, but I feel like I'm always waiting on something. I'm always waiting on something. God answers one prayer, well, then I'm waiting on the next one. I'm waiting on Him to do something else. He saves one person, well, we're waiting on Him to save the next one. We're always waiting for God to do something as Christians in our lives. If you look throughout the Bible, there's always people waiting. One story that come to mind was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they went into the fiery furnace, they was doing what they was called to do. They was standing up for God. They was worshiping their God, not worshiping another God. They was doing exactly what they was called to do. And they told them, they said, "If y'all don't worship me, if y'all don't worship our God, we're going to throw you in the fire." And they said, "No, we're going to worship our God. We're going to worship the true God, the living God." And they found themselves in the fire because they was waiting on God to show up and provide for them. They found themselves in the fire that they was trying to avoid because they were waiting on God. And yet He showed up anyway. Lazarus, when he was sick, he was waiting on God. They was begging Him, waiting on Jesus. And they said, "Jesus, won't you come to him, come help him?" And they kept waiting and they kept waiting and he died. And then Jesus showed up anyway. And sometimes I feel like in my life I'm just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting on God, and He's not ever going to show up. But He's coming. He's on His way. Tonight our church is in a waiting period. We're fixing to build a new sanctuary. We're in a waiting period. We're changing over from this building to the next building, waiting on people to get saved. We're in a waiting period tonight. But tonight what I want to bring is, what should we do while we're waiting? What should we do while we're waiting? If you're not a Christian, this pertains nothing to you tonight. If you not have a personal relationship with God, it has absolutely nothing to do with you tonight. But what should we do while we're waiting? You see in verses number 1 and 2 here, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Right there is the waiting. It's coming. In verse number 2, it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." The very first thing we must do, the very first thing Peter tells them to do, is to work. We must work while we're waiting. He says, "Feed the flock which is among you." I want you to know we must feed that flock. We must work. We must do what God's called us to do while we're waiting on Him. I'm trying to tie everything back into a story that everybody's familiar with. But I thought about Noah when I was thinking about we must work while we wait. Noah, God come to him. He said, "Build an ark because it's going to rain." And Noah said, "What is rain?" And God told him, "Rain, water is going to fall from the sky. That's what rain is. It had never rained yet." And Noah went to working. And I can't imagine the people who come against him and made fun of him and all them things. And I just got to thinking that sometimes when I'm waiting on God and He's told me He's going to do something, that I need to be doing this and I need to be doing that and preparing for Him. Everything is like going the opposite way of what He's told me to do. Have y'all been there? Just me? I don't know. But I just imagine Noah as he's sitting there building that ark, and he said, "Boy, it's going to rain, it's going to come a flood, it's going to destroy the whole earth." And I just imagine, boy, Noah was working on that ark, and it was some of the driest, hottest, most miserable days to be outside building an ark. And I just imagine Satan coming to him, just browbeating him and discouraging him. But he said, but what Noah done when he kept on working. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, you don't have to flip there, I got it right here. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." I want you to know tonight we must be working for the Lord. It says right there, it says we must be steadfast. We must not be movable. We must always be working in what God's called us to do. But I want you to know tonight we must also, while we're working, we must wear each other's burdens. We must care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you go on down and we'll start right here in verse number 3. It says, "Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Won't you know, it says, submit yourselves unto the elder, and all you be subject one to another. Won't you know, we must submit to each other. We must wear each other's burdens. I got to thinking about this. When Jesus went to the cross, and He was carrying that cross up the hill, and they got somebody to jump in and help Him because He couldn't do it on His own. He couldn't make it there on His own, so they got Simon to jump in there and help Him carry that cross up to Mount Golgotha. And I want you to know, when He got there and He was crucified, and the disciples, they were just discouraged, and they didn't know what to do. They were in a waiting period in their life. If you look back, and when Jesus rose from the grave and all them things went down, the disciples were together. They were together. They were bearing each other's burdens. I want you to know tonight, as a Christian, as a church family, we cannot make it if we're not together, if we're not bearing each other's burdens, if we're not relying on each other. Galatians 6:1-2, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." It says, verse number 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I want you to know tonight, I'm not giving you nothing of my opinion. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We must bear one another's burdens. But tonight, we must work. We must wear each other's burdens while we wait. But the one thing that got me this week was we must worship while we wait. And y'all have heard the song, worship while I'm waiting, all the stuff like that. You'll hear it. But I see this right here in verse number 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. But you know these people here, they're going through sufferings, going through persecutions, going through trials and tribulations in their lives. And he said, humble yourselves, and he'll exalt you in due time. I want you to know tonight the humbleness is worship. Being humble is worship. You can't worship God and not be humble. I feel like that's a big problem with churches today is, man, we want to build the biggest, nicest sanctuary and put all the blue and red and flashing lights and all these things in it and have these worship services and have all these people show up and have a big concert on Sunday mornings and say, man, we worship God. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords never come down and worship with us. And we want to build as nice sanctuary as we can. We want to have the biggest life centers we can. We want to have the biggest attendances. We want to have the biggest this and the biggest that. But we don't want to humble ourselves before an almighty God because that puts us below Him. We don't want to be below an almighty God, but I want you to know that's the only way we can worship Him is in humble, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want you to know tonight, Jesus, He cares for us so much. He went to the cross and He died for us. And He wants our sin. He wants our shame. He wants all these things. But on a daily basis, whatever your cares are, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you love, whatever makes you happy, whatever, He wants you to cast them things on Him. And to Jesus Christ, that is a worship that only you and Him can have. You can come in here and you can sing songs and you can raise your hand and you can do this and you can do that, but when you're worshiping Him, you're going to cast your whole self to it. Everything that you've got, everything that's the good, the bad, the ugly, He wants you to cast it to Him because that's just showing God how much you're worshiping Him, how much you trust Him. But I see in verse number 8, after we get done worshiping, tonight, after I've warned you of what you must be doing while we're waiting on God to show up in your life, you must be wary of the devil. Verse number 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know tonight, I'm kind of backtracking here, but it don't matter what you do in my life. I can't speak for y'all in my life. Every time God tells me to go here and do this and wait on Him there, and I'm sitting there and I'm doing everything He's told me to do and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, boy, that's when Satan snips his little head in right then and there. It's the easiest time because you don't feel God moving. You don't see Him moving. You don't see Him doing nothing. And Satan comes in and he says, I thought God was going to do this. I thought your God said He was going to do that. Where is he at now? Won't you know you must be wary of the devil? But the very last thing, and I wish I had a knock them dead, drag them home point for tonight, but I woke up this morning and I was where I'm at. What I've given you, that's all I got. And I woke up this morning and Lord, I know there's something else. I know there's something else you want me to bring what you want. And He said, the only thing you can do while you're waiting is wait. And I thought, my goodness, what in the world is that? And I got down in verse number 10 there, and it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, then He'll make you perfect. He'll establish you, strengthen you, and He will settle you. But I got to thinking about Isaiah in chapter number 40. Everybody knows verses 30 and 31. But I want to back it on up just a little bit tonight. Read verse 28 there. And I seen that this week as I was studying, and boy, it hit home with me. It's stuck on me this week. It says, "Hast thou not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not?" Oh, I've waited as long as I can wait, Lord. Says He fainteth not, neither is He weary. Lord, I don't know what You're doing. I don't know what You've got going on, but I need You to move. Says He's not weary. He's not rubbing His hands. He knows what He's doing. Says there's no searching of His understanding. And I'm no scholar, but to me, is that's when I mess up and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sitting there scratching my head trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Yeah, God's not doing that. He's not doing that. Verse 29, it says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Tonight, I don't know what. I feel like everybody in here is waiting on something. You're waiting on something. You're waiting on God to move on somebody in your life. You're waiting on God to move in your life. And I know I'm no knock them down, drag them home preacher, but this is what God's given me tonight. Where I've been in my life in the past couple weeks, this is what He's laid on me. I said, "Lord, I'm so sick and tired of waiting." He said, "You just got to wait a little bit longer." And He took me to Psalms this evening on the way to church. He took me to Psalms 27 and verse 14. "Lord, what am I going to do while I'm waiting?" Psalms 27, 14, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart." Tonight, I can't tell you nothing. I can't tell you nothing to do. I can't write down a bulletin point of what you need to do in your life when you're needing God to move. There's a family in Gwin, Alabama right now over in Children's, wherever they're at, they're needing God to move. They're waiting on God to move. Brother Eric and his family, they're waiting on God to move. They're needing a touch from heaven. I can't tell you what to do. You're needing God to move in your life somewhere. I know you are. I can't tell you what to do, but right here's where He took me this week. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just wait. Lord, I love You tonight, God. God, we're a fast food, boy, we want it quick kind of people. God, sometimes You just want us to slow down and wait. God, I pray, Father God, that as we're in a waiting period for this church, God, I pray that You just give us patience, You give us peace, You give us rest, Father God. God, I pray this week, Father God, whoever in this room may be waiting on You to move, Father God. God, I pray that You'd move on them. God, I pray that You'd give them peace, give them rest, Father. God, I pray, Father God, that You just give them the strength, give them the courage to keep on pushing on for You. God, I pray this week, Father God, is for baby Davy and Father God and that family, Father God, I pray that You just move on them, God. God, I know they're in that waiting period, God, just as we all are, God, and I pray that You, God, I'm begging for a move from heaven. God, I'm begging fire to fall on that situation, Father. And God, I pray, Father God, that You just bless each and every one in this room tonight, God. God, whatever the desires of their heart are this week, God, I pray that You bless them with it. God, if somebody's in here tonight lost and undone, Father God, and just needing a touch from heaven, Father, I pray that You move on them tonight. God, I love You. God, I do thank You. I thank You for them kids outside, Father. God, I thank You for each and every little breath, Father God, that's running around doing whatever they're doing right now. God, I pray that You move on them. Keep them safe this week. God, I love You and I do thank You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all.